by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Cairo Knights, how you doing, everybody? My name's Jonathan Weir. Thank you so much for tuning in on this lovely Wednesday evening in Seattle. I just got to start here. It's, I guess, the big news story today is the Amazon walkout, where something like 800 or so employees walked out, 1,700 walked out across the world, but 800 specifically in Seattle, which is not even a 50th of the amount of people that work at Amazon headquarters. So I don't know how effective it is, because there weren't that many people that walked out. On top of that, they went at noon, so it just looked like people were having lunch together, holding signs against, you know, Amazon or whatever. Can I just say a couple of things?
Say it.
Also, put this down. It's not just that they did it at noon. It's not just that it looked like the world's angriest lunch. It's also the fact that they called themselves in their speeches Amazonians, which makes me cringe when they're not doing it. Like, I mean, it makes me cringe when they're not doing it during a critique of the company they're working for. It bothers me when they're just like, oh, I'm a proud Amazonian. I've worked at Amazon for 10 years. Okay, just say you're an Amazon employee. I didn't call myself a Walmartian when I worked at Walmart, okay? I didn't call myself a Targetarian when I worked at Target. I wasn't a pizza hutician when I worked there. So I just, you're kind of hurting your own cause when you call yourself Amazonians in your speeches against Amazon. Did you have something to say about that, Producer Max?
No, but I'm curious if did anyone walk out of, like, the work from home people? Did anyone just, like, go outside of their apartment or on the sidewalk of their house and just, like, kicked it for a half hour and then went back up?
This is one of those things where I'm too stupid to understand what's going on sometimes. Yeah, because I saw that some people were protesting remotely, which is ironic considering they were protesting about the fact that they can't work from home. So, like, so you're protesting the thing that you're currently doing? You're protesting to get more of the thing you're doing. Got it. Okay, got it. That's awesome. Also, what does it mean to protest remote? I mean, maybe it just meant they didn't work during that hour, but I guarantee you they spent the next couple hours catching up on that hour they didn't do. So I don't know. It seems like the most ineffective protest I've ever heard of. And I get that they're trying to make this a big tent thing by including the environmental aspect. But we all know that this is about return to work. We all know that this is about Amazon for, because nobody was holding these protests before they were forced to go back to work. They talked about them every time they threatened to go back to work, every time they were threatened with that. But this didn't happen until they were forced to by Amazon to go back to work. The environmental thing, just, it kind of falls flat. You can even roll in, oh, what if we work from home? Then that's better for the environment. Okay, sure. Okay, sure. But you're putting too many things into one bag. Just say it's about return to work. And I understand why you have a problem making it about remote work and how you want to work from home, because that sounds selfish, but it's really not. Studies have shown you're a better employee when you work from home. You're more productive if you work from home. So just make it about it's better for the company, and they're making a bad decision. The irony of Amazon enforcing return to work is, so you made it so people didn't have to go to a building or store to spend money, and now you're forcing people to come to a building to make money. You killed brick and mortar Main Street America. I mean, Walmart helped, obviously, but you, more or less, you put the final nail in the coffin. And now you're like, hey, just because you can buy things like that doesn't mean you can work like that. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And the funny thing about it is, I, as a talk show host speaking into a microphone that's being blasted into your cars through the radio, I shouldn't support this. I'm an idiot to support this. I'm an idiot to support people's right to work from home. Because more people in cars is better for me. Traffic jams are awesome for me. It means you're stuck there. You have to listen longer. But I have this weird thing called empathy, where I understand where you're coming from. It's expensive for you to have to put your kids in daycare. You miss being able to do the work in your jammies and being comfortable. You miss being able to see your kids whenever you want, especially with summer coming up. They don't have school that they can go to. So now you have to find daycare and it's more expensive. I get all that. It sucks. Unfortunately, for me, in this case, my empathy is actually outweighing my selfishness. I saw somebody comment earlier today, why don't they just resign if they don't like their jobs? Just get a new job. Oh, because we live in a world where job fairies exist and there's job trees where you can just go and grab a job that pays exactly the same as you were making off of the job tree. They don't, especially in the tech sector. Those jobs are not there currently. I don't know if you've heard about this thing called AI, but a lot of companies like it. The reason they like it is for the same reason that automotive plants really liked big, heavy machinery that could do the job of 10 men back in the 1980s. So they can't just leave their jobs. They need their jobs. What they should do is maybe, I don't know, unionize. You can get away with that in Washington State. You don't get fired for it. Maybe this is the first step towards that, but Starbucks did it, for God's sake. What's stopping you guys at Amazon? All right. Moving on to the big national news. The debt ceiling passed, which I've not commented on at all because honestly, sometimes my cynicism gets swirled in with optimism in a strange way. And that's what was happening with the debt ceiling, where everybody was freaking out about it. The whole country's going to burst into flames if we don't get this passed. Oh, my God. Children will be running in the streets with their hair on fire. And I was just like, they're going to get it passed. They always do. I went through this 11 years ago on air where I actually cared about it during the Obama administration. And I sat there every day like, I can't believe what these people are doing. Oh, my God. Don't they realize the country's in peril? And then they did it like five more times and I went, okay, this is getting stupid. Of course they're going to pass it because the implications of not passing it are pretty horrendous. But then there are people like Max who think, hey, don't pass it. Don't fix the problems. What did you have to say about this, Max?
It's a hot take. I think they should just let it burn. And I say start over. And either one way or another, you're either going to get bread for 8 cents or $40. There's just no middle anymore.
Okay. I'm failing to see how letting the country default on our debt somehow
money
ends
isn't
up
real.
With
I really
bread,
don't think it's
bread
all
being
real.
Cheaper.
Well,
yeah,
in the sense.
No, I agree with that. It's imaginary and it's based on the whims. I mean, stocks aren't real. This is a good analogy since we're going to be talking about sports later in the show. It's a lot like the NFL cap. Some teams believe in it. Some teams don't. And the only difference seems to be that some teams worry about it and some teams don't. There is a reality to it. Eventually you get to be like the New Orleans Saints where you can't really afford to have any trades or free agents or anything. But it takes a while to get there. And that's what money is like. It's all just kind of like, oh, we should worry about it. It's just based on whims. It's based on feelings. It's based on, you know, what one billionaire says to another billionaire. But you think that if we just let it all burn, somehow we'll be able to sort it out in the end?
I don't think anyone's going to learn any lessons if we just keep giving people a free pass, especially our government. Well,
so here's my sincere worry, because I kind of feel like that, too. I kind of feel like I just burn it all to the ground. Like, I don't know. I don't think this is working out too great. this whole American experiment lately. And part of our problem with, as America, part of our problem really is we have not faced that much adversity. We've not gone through a world war the same way that countries in Europe did or even Asia did. We were fine over here, other than obviously we had men and women going off and dying in the war. But
the citizens.
For the most part, though, in America, you were totally fine. You weren't under any major threat. There was no big rebuilding that we needed to do. In fact, World War II was great for us because everyone else was in ruins and shambles and smoke, and we got to bail them out, and then they had to pay us back. It was great.
The 425 texts in and asks, if they let it default, would they still get their paychecks? And that's kind of where I'm getting, you know. If they can't get paid, maybe some things start to change.
Okay, here's what would happen if it defaulted. And this is why I'm against it defaulting. Not only because I think it could potentially be ruinous. Here's the real problem. The 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution says that all debts are valid. So that means that all debts have to be paid. If you have a budget, if you've spent that money, then according to the 14th Amendment, those debts are valid and have to be paid. So the debt ceiling needs to either go up through Congress or the president can unilaterally do it. And what's scary about that is the power that Congress truly has is in the purse strings, is in moments like this. Their ability to set the agenda is truly from the fact that they control the purse strings. Because they can pass bills, but they have to go through both houses, and the president still has to vote on it. They can get overridden. They can get vetoed. I mean, it can be onerous to get anything passed unless they have this power. So if we say, if Congress says, you know what, screw it, we're going to default and let everything just burn, then the president steps in and goes, I can't let that happen. According to the 14th Amendment, I'm going to raise the debt ceiling myself as the executive of the country. And there you go. And it's done. And now I have that power. And that's just one more way that we step into authoritarianism as a bear trap in this country.
And we avoid being in China's pocket some more.
How do we? Oh, because we wouldn't have as much debt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where a lot of our debt is owed.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, but I mean, I think again, the if we defaulted, then they would, they might come calling. That might be bad.
Might be bad.
But most of our debt is owed to ourselves. It's mostly through people buying treasury bonds,
which is just incredible. How can you mess it up that bad?
Well, what I don't understand is about like I said, it's Congress's responsibility. But it's also their job. You know, if I gave my son $20 a week for an allowance, and actually I do, I gave him $20 a week for an allowance. If he went through it all by Wednesday, because I give it to him on Sunday, and I told him, okay, well, guess what? I feel bad for you because you spent all of your money. You can raise your allowance to whatever you want, whatever you think is reasonable. And then he said, no. And by the way, I owe way more than $20. So if you don't give me a new Nintendo Switch, I won't raise it, and then we'll both be in default. People would think I'm a lunatic for giving in to him. But that's the situation we have, where Congress is literally just like, hey, this is all we have, and we're going to, like, you know, Jay Paul said, we're going to hold your ransom, going to hold you at gunpoint, we're going to force you to do it, otherwise the country's going to default. But all it's going to take is one president to realize, and maybe this president that we currently have either doesn't realize it, which I find probably not likely, or he doesn't want to take that step. All that would need to happen is we get a more authoritarian minded president in the White House who goes, oh, okay, go ahead, guys. Yeah, don't raise the debt ceiling. I've been waiting for this to happen so then I can control all the money, which is what they would be able to do. Thanks to the 14th Amendment. Thank you, guys, back in 1865. All right, I want to move on because I couldn't care less about the debt ceiling.
Yeah, we knew other it was than, getting raised. The whole thing's
laughable. Like I said, it's my cynicism mixed with my optimism, where I'm like, I know they're not going to be that stupid. I know things seem extreme lately, but we went through this with the Tea Party Republicans back in the early 2010s, and they ended up passing it because the implications of not doing it is ridiculous, and they just do it as a negotiating tactic. So now people have to pay back their student loans, and Congress gets to keep borrowing more money irresponsibly. I want to move on to this. This is a story from my little area of the world here in New England, from Middleborough, Massachusetts, where a kid got in trouble for wearing a specific T-shirt to school. Listen to this news report.
This is the shirt causing so much controversy in Middleborough that reads, "There are only two genders."
So he's wearing a shirt to school that literally says on it just the words, "There are only two genders." All right.
12-year-old Liam Morrison, a seventh grader at Nichols Middle School, wore it to school and was told to change because he was violating the dress code. The school's principal allegedly told Morrison other students complained about the shirt. Morrison, who refused to change his shirt, ended up going home that day this past March. Then earlier this month, he was forced to remove the shirt at school again, but this time Morrison covered the words "only two" with the word "censored." Attorneys for Morrison appeared in federal court on Wednesday morning after filing a suit against the town of Middleborough so Morrison could wear his shirt in school, claiming his First Amendment rights were being violated.
In a school like Liam's, the opposite view about sex and gender and the way that relates to human identity is expressed all of the time, whether it's through the flags in the hallways or posters or pride events. The school is permeated with one particular viewpoint on this subject, and Liam and perceives that there's pressure not to be able to express a different view.
The local trans rights activist Mason Dunn says you can't compare a pride flag with a shirt denying gender identity that he says could incite violence.
Messages of pride are messages of support, messages of affirmation, not messages of hate or bias.
Neither the school district nor the attorney representing the town in this case wanted to comment. Everyone we spoke with who had family at this school supported Morrison.
Do you think he should be able to wear it in school?
Yes. They wear so many other crazy T-shirts.
By the way, I just need to say, this is like this sweet old man that's being interviewed outside of the school. I just need to play his audio because I love it so much.
Listen, do you think he should be able to wear it in school?
Yes. They wear so many other crazy T-shirts. You know, you see the Rolling Stones with the tongues and all these other crazy shirts they wear. I don't know why they singled him out.
I just love that the best example he could come up with for an offensive T-shirt was the Rolling Stones with their tongues out, which I guess is the Rolling Stones logo. But I also think he's also like conflating the Rolling Stones and Kiss. And he's also the guy's only like 65 years old. He's younger than the Rolling Stones. And he said, "These Rolling Stones are so offensive and crazy. They're out of hand." How much time do we have left in this segment?
20 seconds.
Okay, we got to get out. Okay, well, when we come back, we'll talk about this a little bit more. Why I think the argument the lawyer is making is totally dumb as far as, well, he should be able to wear this because people are wearing the opposite T-shirt in school. I do think the kid should be allowed to wear the shirt, but I don't think for that reason. And we also want to talk about this. What T-shirt got you in trouble? You ever get in trouble for wearing a T-shirt? Whether it was in school or otherwise. Text it in right now. 888-973-5476. 888-973-KIRO. Kara Knights. Kara Knights. We talked about that yesterday. The house in Seattle being vandalized with the Betty Page and Divine murals on it. And I did not hear the audio from one of the owners of the house who said, like, I wish they just spray painted the house with red paint. Like, what does that even mean? I don't know what their intent behind it is. What do they want from me? I think it's such an awesome way to look at the world, as if these people were capable of expressing what was actually wrong with what you're doing. They're not. That's why they have to vandalize it. Because I guarantee you, if they could formulate the cogent analysis to say why they're upset about it, they wouldn't go, I'm going to spray paint it. They would just maybe write a letter to the editor of Seattle Times, call into a talk radio show, or find another way to complain about it. But they don't have that ability. They're just angry people with maybe two brain cells clicking together occasionally. Occasionally, they shake their head hard enough, and they just rub together. And when that happens, they go, get some red paint. Anyway, moving on. We were talking before we were so rudely interrupted by commercials about a young boy named Liam Morrison in Middleborough, Massachusetts, who's wearing a T-shirt, or at least trying to wear a T-shirt to school, that says, quote, there are only two genders. It's been a big problem for him. He's been told he cannot wear the shirt to school. His parents got a lawyer and are currently suing the school, saying it's not fair that if people can wear pride shirts, LGBTQ positive shirts to school, that he can't wear a shirt saying there are only two genders. First of all, the idea that it's okay to wear a shirt that's the opposite of another shirt that other people are wearing isn't a good argument for this. They're saying, oh, it tramples on his First Amendment rights. He has a right to respond to those other T-shirts however he sees fit. Like, if a kid wore a Paw Patrol shirt to school, that doesn't mean another kid can wear an NWA the police shirt. Because that's unnecessarily antagonistic. The valid argument is this, because I do believe the kid has the right to wear the shirt. If it's a school that allows children to express themselves through graphic TV and T-shirts, I don't know why I wanted to see TV there. If it's a school that allows them to express themselves through graphic T-shirts, then he has a right to wear that shirt. He has a right to his opinion, right? He has a right to that opinion. He's expressing his opinion in a non-vulgar way. So let him wear the shirt. It's not unnecessarily antagonistic. Just because you disagree with it doesn't mean that he doesn't have a right to wear it. I disagree with it too. I don't have time to get into that. I don't really feel like it right now, but keep listening to the show, and at some point I'm sure we will. But he has the right to wear the shirt because he has a right to express his opinion so long as it's in a non-vulgar, non-antagonistic way. And that's the way he's doing it. He's just saying there are only two genders. You know, when I was a kid, we weren't allowed to have anything that would be considered a distraction on our T-shirts. We couldn't wear those. But I hated that because I thought that was too subjective. You could wear T-shirts with like band logos and things like that, or Nike T-shirt. But if the teachers deemed it to be a distraction, then that was a problem. So you could wear a Beatles T-shirt, but you couldn't wear a Marilyn Manson T-shirt. You could wear, I don't know, a No Fear T-shirt, but you couldn't wear a Co-Ed Naked T-shirt. I'm just going to the 90s here in our classic T-shirts. Anyway, I asked you guys on the text line. 888-973-5476. 888-973-KIRO. What's a T-shirt that got you in trouble? Before we get to some of your answers, I'll just give you mine. When I was in school, I wore my older brother's T-shirt. In fact, I would do that a lot. I would go and raid his closet because he had cooler clothes than me. My feeling was I was his younger brother. I was going to get his shirts anyway as hand-me-downs, so I should just go in and wear them now. We're the same size. So I should be able to go in there and wear them. Well, I went into his closet and I took a shirt that was for the band Filter. And it's a great shirt. In fact, I still have it as a tribute to my brother upstairs in my closet. And I still wear it occasionally to this day. But the thing about the shirt was, my brother had worn it a couple days before, while he, I guess, was hanging out with some people who were smoking pot. because I know he wouldn't have been doing it, but the people he was with were smoking pot. And I was in the seventh grade and I had no idea what pot smelled like. I had no idea. Never smoked it, was never around it. I just knew the shirt kind of smelled funny. So I wore it to school. It was Dare Day at school. Meaning that's when the DARE officer was coming in to talk to us. And I had this shirt on that reeked like a Bob Marley concert in 1968. And the cop passed me, walked past me, was giving a speech, walked past me, stopped, and he went, "I need to talk to you after class." And I went, "Oh, okay." And he pulls me into the hallway after class and is going, "Hey, you seem like a good kid. And I don't want to have to take you down to the precinct and book you. But if you come here smelling like that again, I'm going to have to." And the funny thing was, he never told me it was because I smelled like weed and he thought I was smoking weed. He just told me I smelled funny. So I became unnecessarily obsessed with hygiene. So I thank you. Thank you, Officer McDaniels. Because I, you know, it made me take that a little more seriously than I would have. Had to take 2 showers a day to make sure I didn't get arrested. But I did it. All right, now for some of your texts, let's see. From the text line, "No Fear t-shirts were banned from our school." Yeah, they were banned from my school in junior high school, but they were allowed in high school. And I don't know why they were banned other than they were just stupid and maybe the teachers were tired of seeing them. They said stupid stuff like "second place is the first loser," like these unnecessarily competitive things, like "he who dies with the most toys still dies," like this "I'm 14 and this is so edgy" stuff. These like Linkin Park lyrics, more or less. Somebody on the text line says, "I wore a shirt with the Guinness logo on it, got written up and was made to wear a school t-shirt for the rest of the day." Yeah, you couldn't wear anything endorsing alcohol, obviously. Next texter says the same thing. "I wore a Spuds McKenzie shirt to school and was sent home. I was in kindergarten. My mom just thought the dog was cool and ignored the Budweiser label." Well, you know, that would be a problem for several reasons today. Because not only would you be endorsing alcohol, but if it was a Bud Light shirt, my God. What else might you be endorsing by wearing that shirt?
To be fair, the dog was cool.
The dog was super cool. I love Spuds McKenzie. The original party animal, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Texas, a co-ed naked t-shirt. The worst thing about it was the cool teacher who called me out for it. I thought he was our friend. He was not. I had a run-in with a cool teacher in college. It was like a teacher that I genuinely thought I had an actual relationship with, like, a, you know, we would talk back and forth about music and movies and stuff like that. And then one day I said something in class. I don't remember what it was. I just said something out of turn in class and he literally hauled me out like by the scruff of my shirt. Again, I was a 19-year-old at this point, out to the hallway and started yelling at me. And then he apologized that he feels like he overreacted about it later. And I was just like, I kind of felt like that was a douchey thing to do, but I don't think he would have done it to anybody else. I think he thought like our relationship was good enough to withstand his abuse. You know, you hurt the ones you love. And finally, from the text line, "I got in trouble for wearing a Twisted Sister pin on my shirt. When the teacher was berating me about it, all of a sudden the band appeared out of nowhere and started playing I Want to Rock, and the teacher was blown into the ceiling." Solid. That's a solid. You got me. That's a solid get. Always drove me crazy. If you go watch that video for I Want to Rock by Twisted Sister, when it blows the teacher up and through the ceiling, he's in the gym. So it's a school where the gym is above a classroom? It'd be impossible to focus in that classroom. What a stupid school. It's Car Nights. How you doing? My name is Jonathan. Happy to be with you here on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. So, I don't know if there's a competition between Al Pacino and Robert De Niro that we were just not aware of, but Al Pacino announced today that he is set to become a father today. Well, not today, but he announced it today. He's set to become a father again at the age of 83. Old Al Pacino is set to become a father at the age of 83 with his 29-year-old girlfriend. They're expecting a child. He said that he's really happy to be expecting again. He said it's the missing link, so to speak. He said having children has helped a lot. I consciously knew that I didn't want to be like my dad. I wanted to be there. I have three children. I'm responsible for them. I'm a part of their life. When I'm not with them, it's upsetting to me and to them. Al, you're 83 years old. Maybe it's not the best idea to be talking about how important it is for you to be there for a kid that you probably won't see their high school graduation.
I was just gonna ask. Because
when they graduate high school, you'll be 101. So you might be there. I mean, people are living longer, especially rich and famous people are living longer. But it's also not very likely that you are going to be there. You probably have maybe 10 years left. A lot of people debate the morality of this. I mean, I find it to be silly that he said that I'm going to be there for my kids, unlike my dad was. I don't really have a problem with him having kids or a kid at 83, whatever. I don't care. So, I mean, that's between him and his wife. It's their choice. I'm not going to judge it. I will say a lot of people saying it's sad that the kid is going to grow up and his only memory of his dad will be like this incredibly old man. And I was like, really? Will that be the only memory of his dad? If only you wanted to show him as like the coolest actor of the 70s and 80s, you know? Maybe his Academy Award winning speech in the Scent of a Woman. If you need to show him what his dad is like. His dad is unequivocally cool. So I don't, it's not like just a random person having a baby at 83. It's Al Pacino. I'm not going to say that he can't do that. And then I don't think he's going to be there for the kid, but I also don't think that it's a mistake. I don't think it's bad. Like the mistake would be trying to play catch with the kid, you know, when he's older. Like, hold on, I throwing arms caught in my IV tubing again. I need to get a cortisol injection in my hip and then I'll be there, boy. By the way, do you like my Al Pacino impersonation?
No.
Dead on. It was so good.
I hope that his new kid and Robert's new kid, like,
grow up together.
Yeah, or make a comedy duo or something.
No, they don't need to do that. They just need to remake Heat in 35 years.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Not The Irishman. Nobody needs to see that. Nobody wants to see that. But make a sequel to Heat called Heat 2, The Rebirth. I don't know why. It would just be confusing. But yeah, I don't know. He's a talented guy. More talented people in the world. I'm all for it. I'm fine with it. A lot of people are against it. A lot of people have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's the age.
I think they're just jealous. I think they're just jealous because nobody wants to have sex with you in your 40s or 30s. But Al Pacino's still getting it at 83.
It must be a blow to some man's ego, for sure. When you look at the picture of him at 83.
Yeah.
And you're like, really? And I can't even get a text back?
Yeah, but you know what? That picture doesn't speak to the solid foundation. Yeah, solid foundation of Riz that he has, not to mention the pocketbook. But just the charisma the man exudes to this day. Actually, I have not seen a movie that he's been in like 20 years, so I have no idea if he's still charismatic. I honestly think the last movie I saw him in was Insomnia? Good God! It was the movie where he goes to Alaska to catch Robin Williams, who's a serial killer. Good Lord. What that
role
can't be
can
it.
Can Robin Williams not play?
He played them all. He was great in all of them. That man had actual charisma. All right, coming up. Well, Al Pacino might be one of the reasons this is happening, but Washington State is getting older because people like Al Pacino are the ones having babies. I'll explain that on Cairo Nights. Next.